Hello, brethren. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs 9:17-18. Isn't this a mantra for today? A collective nod to greed and a very broad proclivity to lusts of all kinds. Fast and easy, living by the lie in the belly. Yeah, wickedness is now endemic throughout the species. We'll leave out the aliens, though. And those participating in these last days' activities know not that they feast with the dead at a dining table in hell. Look around, you saints. Look around you. Now, I'm not tooting an I told you so horn. However, some of us called from the walls, now left with nothing more than a broom in our hand, had been given to warn each other that this leavened spirit had arisen and was beginning to proliferate. And a few watchmen at the time sighted the change, albeit a subtle one at first, and did indeed warn of its approach. And though some were called to, or all were called to, reap rejection for it, some of us still kept our spiritual ears and eyes open to the pits and snares thrown at us from all directions, and we did warn. We don't have far to look to find the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies regarding the total reversal of sanity and the absolute vanishing of common sense. Simply put, nothing of this world today makes any sense except for the completion of the falling away. And that we could take to the bank. Here's a quick, cheery little synopsis of the inhabitants of the earth today. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no one shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. Job must have been having a good day then. Job 24:13-17. Where does that leave God's called out ones? Right where they're supposed to be. Alone with their God on a very narrow way. I still do believe that our fates are set by the Almighty, and the free will we possess indeed gives us a small sense of control over our destinies. Whichever way we choose to turn is always new to us, but known long before the fact by the eternal architect of our faith. Kinda scary, but take a look at Matthew 6:8. Please remember that we're not created for our own pleasure. God does not exist for our pleasure. We exist for his pleasure. Is he getting any pleasure from us? Utilitarian Christianity has driven the religion of Christianity into the gaping mouth and iron teeth of hell itself. Please consider Psalm 107:26. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And what trouble? That which comes of folly, not persecution. And will they call upon the Lord that he lift them up? Will they repent? You know, we're not speaking of the ungodly of the world, but of the sinners of the camp. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's repentance. Yeah, that's a call for repentance. A little self-examination. Sure. The churches, the religions of this world, well, as old Job said in 5:14, they meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. Have some of us compromised with the harlot establishment? Come on, be honest. Have we turned to the comfort and false security of our old wallows? Has Christ's virgin bride been so deceived as to be found heading up to the city for lamp oil? If we're being reproved, then it would be right to consider that happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. That was Job, too. Are we so much in need of the fellowship that our God paid for with his own blood that we can say as Jeremiah did, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Turn me. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Isaiah 24:17. And the saints? Where do the saints fit into this dire equation above, Nowhere. God's saints care nothing about the blistering assaults that have come upon the earth and the world of the flesh. It all comes with a territory. The crash is coming. Chaos is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. The aliens are coming. Yes, so is Christmas. Though the saints are buffeted and assailed with every temptation to capitulate to the enemy, will they persevere, hold fast, endure, keeping the helmet of the hope of salvation tight to their heads, shields of faith tight to their chest? I don't know. I pray so. One facet of my own personal calling to follow Christ is to keep awake, and I myself loathe worldly distraction. Well, we walk the streets of Babylon, but we do not love them. And to me, that's part of keeping the cross I was commanded to take up firmly upon my shoulders. And the rest of us? Well, I do pray we do diligently and with much zeal contend for our own faith, given to us personally, and that we not cast precious pearls of our faith to the vast herds of swine that encompass us. Face it, the truth is, it's a personal walk at the start. It's a personal gift at the start. It's a personal fellowship with the Creator who made the way, capital W, back to Him. Yeah, it's a mighty lonely trip for some of us today, through this world, through this life, if you want to call it that. Are you kidding? Life is pain. Anyone that says different is selling something. Brethren, don't give up your souls for a lie. Elsewise, ye shall have tribulation is a lie. Moving right along. Let's get into the Days of Noah buzz. I have to touch on this, maybe a little bit more than touch. Tell me what is so hard to take away from Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39, which I will read here in context. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's the simple message here? Yeah, verse 36. No one knoweth the hour, the day, nobody except Father. So when it comes, it's going to be a surprise, isn't it? That's it. Ah, but multitudes of blind teachers and those blinded that follow them construct volumes on how we can know that these are the days of Noah. That wasn't Jesus' point in saying what he did. It was meant to be as simple as we have as much knowledge of his return as the inhabitants of Noah's day did of the arrival of the flood. They carried on as if the world would spin on and no notion it would be destroyed. And let's leave out the translation of Noah being a preacher of righteousness, shall we? We erroneously default to a picture of a wolf in a pulpit when we interpret this verse anyway, so let's not beat a dead horse getting into that. Scripture says he was a preacher of righteousness. Well, who listened? Except maybe his family. Hmm? Continuing. We've taken Jesus' words to be something else. We've added to them. And the delusions and distractions and deceptions pour forth that we be educated in the forms of goings-on that totally destroy the watch-and-pray attitude that Jesus told us to have? Huh. Our petty, childish nightmare fantasies become doctrine. Do you really give a damn about giants returning? The truth about the pyramids all over the earth? The Draco space fleets in our night skies? Yeah, sure. Let's list a few. Why not? How about a bottomless pit being opened before our very blinded eyes? Any pit I know of in this world has a bottom. If it has no bottom, then nothing thrown into it would ever reach the bottom and come to rest. Esoterica, anyone? Spiritual physics? But the talking dead have it all figured out for us. Sure they do. Oh, and in the days of Noah, nothing was normal. You know, nothing's normal today either, so I don't think anything's been normal since the garden, but oh, well, that's my own POV. Yeah, DNA was changed, and giants ate people and built huge fortresses with rocks that we couldn't think of moving with our modern technology today. Yeah, I see. Aliens were everywhere. Well, with that kind of advanced technology, why would our gray brethren play with rocks? Oh, and they're going to be revealed to us now in these days of Noah. Okay. Well, that's worth the price of admission, isn't it? Let's all go out and buy the books and follow this dung on YouTube and the net. Mm-hmm. And what does all this claptrap have to do with the simple fact that Jesus' coming wouldn't be known until it happens?
Well, we have to see the signs.
Oh. There's a sign out there I can tell you to go see, but then we have become immersed in a cesspool of last day's forbidden knowledge and care little for the simplicity of Christ, nor the concise context of his saying and their meanings. Does any one of us think that any worldly knowledge will be looked upon as righteous by the Lord of our salvation when we stand before him?
But Lord, Lord, did we not know every move the enemy made throughout history? Did we not teach the flocks to know the signs of your coming? And Jesus would probably say, yep, yep. You false dog-eared wolf teachers and scientists and holy historians sure did. But you drew them to yourselves, not to me. The knowledge you imparted to them with your books and CDs, videos, and seminars had everything to do with the world, flesh, and devil, not the kingdom of God, nor the knowledge of God. Depart from me. Yo, that's going to be a terrifying thing. That's going to be terrifying to hear. As I might reiterate right now, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul saying, "For I determined not to know, and I might add or teach, anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now these teachers who teach this, who stay within those parameters, very narrow ones, these teachers will Christ welcome into his kingdom. And also those who have kept their quiet, simple way, Jesus the Christ, learning from what they've been taught in truth. Remember that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, and I might add worldly knowledge of the death cult we call life here, or who is whom ruling the air. Remember that. Don't give thanks for what these grave dwellers give you, brethren. Give thanks for the God who mercifully called you to abide in his peace by his grace through Jesus. There's nothing esoteric about Christ's sufferings. And there is, but there isn't. It was very, very bad, very painful. Our souls that he paid for are worth more than a universe full of worldly knowledge, physical knowledge. Please, forget this in the last days stuff and keep to the are you ready if your soul is required of you stuff. Okay? Enough said. There was another thing I was given back in about mid-ministry. Amos 8:11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A long time ago, mid-ministry, that was a long time ago, I was given to preach concerning this famine upon the world. Today there's not only a famine of the hearing of the word, there's a famine of sound doctrine as well. Not a lot of settled sheep, just a lot of stray wandering goats. These are better signs of the days we live in than those of the sideshow prophets and teachers concerning the days of Noah. You might judge me eccentric or foolish or otherwise completely daft, but nevertheless, there's little in the way of the word today. You could say that everywhere you turn, you hear someone preaching from the Bible. Well, I'm telling you that from where I stand, I hear that, but I hear no power, no conviction coming from today's preaching. Everywhere I turn, using these great mediums of communication, and I mean that sincerely, I still hear the eternal security lie at its heart. I hear different flavors and, you know, of doctrines. And I picture it as seeing these preachers dancing around the truth, you know, feigning toward the center as with a spear toward the fire, you know, during a ceremony, but never coming to rest in the center of the truth. Let alone teaching and encouraging the saints on how to walk. We're all going downhill right now, and there's not going to be any stopping it. There's no brief interludes and wonderful moments in the sun because we've got some new schmuck in the White House, okay? A billionaire. Oh, yeah, there's a people's man. No, we're going downhill, and today's teachers and preachers, or pastors if you want to call them that, who have flocks, should be telling their flocks, you know, hold fast, stand firm, watch your footing. It's getting, you know, it's getting deeper, it's getting lower. You know, we're on the downhill slide. Yeah, all the while we're looking up, that's for sure. Something's going on, we know it. But what are we preaching? What are we teaching each other? You know, we should be encouraging each other to stay firm, stand. You know, set your jaw. Don't move. It's a lost cause. It seems like a lost cause. But anyway, if I might expand on my narrow-minded dissertation, I see a world including Christianity in complete rebellion before God, bewitched and in opposition to the truth. And reactivating my archive websites and posting on YouTube and posting the radio stream, The Norway radio stream for the world to listen to has been proof to me that the heady days of the professors are gone. This is just basically archival material now. There's nothing new coming out of the ministry, except every now and again I'm checking in with you saints to just, you know, browbeat you into repentance, you know, things like that. It should remind you where you are, who you are, and who you're not. There's only a few out there that remain interested, if you want to call it that. There's a distinct spirit of unease and even doubt has settled in the hearts of many. And how many have become disqualified, reprobate, as a result of trying to have the best of two worlds, rationalizing everything, trying to make sense of it all? No, you can't serve two masters. Sorry. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, this earthly walk boils down to a few simple, relevant spiritual axioms, one being a hunger or thirst for God. I believe his saints have that. Another one being stated by old Job in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I'm going to do what I believe. Brethren, there's no folly, none, in ultimate surrender to God. There is no folly in admitting that he is the only way. He is the only provision that you have, despite your skills. There is no secret hidden from him or her that trusts and fears the God and Father of Jesus. Scripture states very clearly and concisely that God went to a terrible length to return a few into direct fellowship with him. Now, how long ago was that direct fellowship broken between God and man? Yeah. And we yet fellowship with the world and the flesh and the devil and our expert sideshow clowns. The good news, which is called the gospel, was preached in fulfillment of Christ's divine commission to his apostles. They preached the fulfillment of ages-old prophecies of a Savior being sent to the world, and yet they didn't know him when he was standing in front of them, or why he came, really. What kind of Savior do we need? Man was blind even when Christ was here. And after Christ's apostles set the seeds down of this good news that he had come, the doctrine of Christ and the kingdom was preached throughout the ensuing ages. Today, sound doctrine is not recognizable in the mire it has been so recklessly trampled into. Only a few preach it pure. Only a few believe and follow it. Only a few are chosen. And only a few find a straight gate, narrow way, and life at the end of their journey. And in these last days, I will repeat what I believe has serious relevance to those saints yet walking the paths of this earthly life with Jesus. And it comes from Amos the prophet. Chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. And as for this spent old preacher, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And let heaven hear my praises to God, not the congregation. Prove my righteousness and sanctity, and I am so holy, I am a piece of crap. Friends, filthy rags. And that's what gives Christ his glory, and he gives that glory back to his Father. That's why Father sent him to do this terrible, terrible thing to himself. That these filthy rags can look upon someone who represents them, and someone who is being conformed spiritually into the image of Jesus Christ. You remember that. You don't forget who you are and what you are and what you ain't. Humble yourselves and keep it that way. So yeah, stolen waters are sweet, but the ways of the world will only create bitterness and assure destruction of your soul. So be sober and vigilant. Do the works of God. And what are the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. John 6:29. Doing that, dear ones, is the beginning of the narrow way. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13. To the end, saints, he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Now more than ever, you come clean before your God. Humble yourself, repent of your backsliding, return to your God. Get your shield of faith up and tight, and keep to the narrow road with Jesus. I appreciate you stopping by, saints. It's gonna get much worse as the days shuffle by. And I'm telling you, and you know it too, we ain't seen nothing yet. The grace and peace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, be upon you all. May our God and Father bless and keep you. Amen.